SOP271, he went from picking produce to picking a career.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for tuning in to the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. This is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to producing to promoting to monetizing and all points in between. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, and you can call in your comments courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. That number is 888-563-3228. Let me remind you right here, right up front, that if you're looking to start a podcast, we've got step-by-step tutorials, we've got resources, we've got it all. And if you don't even have a website yet, please contact me, because I can get you into a podcasting website for free. Again, that's 888-563-3228. Today, we have got Ray Ortega. Now, you can find Ray at the Podcaster Studio, one of my favorite podcasts. You'll hear me talk about that in a second. And really, I'm going to shut up and thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you on the other side. Today, we talk with Ray about what gear he uses. We talk a little video podcasting. We talk about the benefits of podcasting. We talk about Twitter. Here it is, my interview with Ray Ortega. All right. Well, Ray, first of all, I am a huge fan of the Podcaster Studio podcast. It's one of my faves. When we talk about, you know, podcasts about podcasting, you are definitely at the top of the list. I just love your style, and you always have great stuff. I learned about Mixlr from your podcast and really a bunch of other stuff. Plus, you have, we'll talk a little bit about video. You have a lot more video experience than I do. And you are the first ever, if we want to call it, I hate this word. I really, really hate this word. But if I were to being that I am a podcast consultant and you are a podcast consultant, technically you are my competition. You are the first competition I've had on this show, but your story is so great. And plus you're just a great guy. I was like, man, we got to get Ray's story outgoing. And so Ray, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Dave. So you got me smiling ear to ear. That is, is obviously very cool things for me to hear, and I appreciate it. And, you know, I love that concept of competition, because I don't really feel like it is competition, but I, you know, I guess if we're both looking for podcasting clients out in the podosphere, the whole world, theoretically we could be competition, but I think there's plenty of room, and we're obviously helping each other out here. So, but if you need podcasting help, go to Dave. He rocks. He was here before me. I learned from him. I owe him some stuff. So go to Dave.
Well, the thing that is that's kind of interesting about this is the one week when you did the thing about Mixlr, I'm like, wow, I've not heard about that. You know, that's really cool. And then I turned on the Audacity to podcast with Daniel, and I forget what his show was about, and it was really good. And I'm like, oh man, people are raising the bar. I got to get some good content for my next episode. So I actually like that. You know, it's kind of like, okay, cool. Now what am I going to go find?
Nice. So,
why don't you talk about like your beginnings and your first podcast and kind of how you got going?
Sure. So my path to making money from podcasting is a little bit different than what most people consider monetizing your podcast. So it's always fun to sort of tell this story. But, you know, back in 2005, I had opened up this program called iTunes. I was trying it out because Napster had been shut down essentially. And I saw this little section in the left-hand corner that said podcast. I clicked on it. There was two dudes talking about, I couldn't tell you. It was terrible. But I realized they were in their living room. And here I was, probably across the country, or maybe even in a different country, listening to these guys talk about anything they wanted. And I thought, holy cow, that's amazing. And I won't say that I, you know, had this amazing, you know, spark of genius and thought, hey, this is going somewhere. I just loved it and thought, this is really cool. You can have a global voice. What's the tech here? I want to be involved. And so I decided that I wanted to start my own show. And even though that was audio, I had been looking at the podcasting section and had been looking a lot at, or subscribing to initially, a lot of video podcasts. And I at the time was really into video editing and taught myself how to edit video. And I'd heard a writer once say, you know, write about what you know about. And I thought, you know, I could apply that to podcasting, because here I am trying to think, whoa, what do I say? What do I podcast about? And so I'm working one day in a grocery store, which has put me through high school and college, and spent 16 years in a grocery store, half that time in a produce department. And I'm like, wait a minute, I have all this crazy info, tips and tricks about how to pick out perfectly ripe, fresh fruits and vegetables. So that's what I know about. So that's what I'll do a podcast about. I will video myself giving tips that really only people who walk through the front door of whatever store I'm working in get to share. I get to share that knowledge with them only. Now, potentially, I could share it with everyone, and anyone who goes to a grocery store can benefit. So I would do a 5-minute show, a video, and put that together, learned how to podcast through video that way, and then eventually migrated into audio. And you're one of the first shows I listened to at the School of Podcasting, and about how to podcast audio. And you were talking about this WordPress thing, and it was scary, but I got involved in that. And so yeah, that was really my entry into podcasting. And it's taken me, you know, all the way to someone's paying me to podcast.
So that was going to be my question. So how did you make that transition?
When I started producing my own podcast in, well, it started pre-production, I could say, in 06 and rolled it out in 07, I was also going to meetup groups. There was a podcast meetup group. I had just moved from California to Washington, D.C. with, at the time, my girlfriend, now wife, and made this huge move. I had just been laid off, actually, from one grocery store. And out here in D.C., knew nobody, was just getting into podcasting. It was already at this point a huge passion because, like I said, it just lit a fire and I was done for life. And so I just went to meetup.com, typed in, you know, podcasting, and turns out there's this group that holds a monthly meeting. It's actually run by this hugely successful podcaster named Rich Harrington, who writes tons of training manuals. He works with Apple and Adobe, and you know, met some amazing people there. So it's a huge tip for people to go to meetup.com, find people with your like interest, and get out there. And you know, the people that were at that group, you know, they were obviously interested in the same thing I am. And turns out that someone there was looking for someone to help his podcasting efforts at his organization here in DC. And, you know, he had listened to, you know, I got up and talked, and, you know, I clearly knew what I was talking about. And he was having trouble finding anyone who really knew what podcasting was. He was getting a lot of overqualified people who had all this amazing technical background. But if you ask them what a podcast is, they had no idea. And it was actually at a pod camp, not at a meeting, that they were standing around outside and we were just chatting, ready to go home. And he happened to mention that he's looking for someone to help. And I thought, holy cow, he's talking to someone else. Actually, I interrupted 3 different times. I said, that's my job, you know, mm-hmm. And ended up going in for an interview, and, you know, they liked me. So I was immediately done with my wholesale sales job in produce, a terrible job. It was a low point for me. It was, I'm just not a sales guy.
Yeah.
I like being on a microphone, but I'm not a sales guy. And yeah, you know, it started off as a 6-month, you know, sort of a part-time contract thing. And, you know, I didn't tell them I'd have been doing it for practically free. And, you know, it's a dream job. Here I am. I'm now working someone who has stood on his feet for 16 years, sweating it out, breaking boxes in a produce department. Now I work from home. You know, my commute is 10 seconds. It's 15 seconds if I stop and get some orange juice in the fridge. And I sit here and I produce podcasts. I edit podcasts. We go across the country. We're really into live streaming now. I don't even know what to say. I pinch myself all the time and hope it just doesn't go away, because this has become a thing for me. And in fact, when I got it, my goal was, you know, do this for 2 solid years and I can say, you know, this is now what I do. And I feel like I could go out there and tell other people, you know, successfully apply to a job with a solid background in podcasting. Now, good luck finding those companies.
Right.
You know, that's how I monetize my podcasting. I tell people all the time, people who are producing podcasts right now are becoming the go-to people. And as podcast penetrates more and more of the sort of, you know, social conscience, and corporations realize we need to have a podcast, they're going to turn to someone who knows what they're doing. And if you've had a show going for a while, it's never too late. You might be in the same situation that I was.
Absolutely. Very cool. So you're doing a podcast about produce. What was kind of the feedback that you got from that audience?
The feedback was, you know, actually it was stronger. I found a stronger audience, you know, not through the podcast feed so much. You know, I was having success that way. But YouTube was actually a really successful place for my video. And I think it's because a lot of people, when they think of how-to videos, they go to YouTube. It's sort of synonymous, right, with how-to. And so the comments, you know, are just crazy. I'm up to, here's the thing. Here's what's funny about podcasting is while I preach about having quality, not only content, but the quality of your show, you know, the sound of your voice, the look of your video, not that your voice, but you know, I mean, audio quality.
Right.
You know, I really am passionate about making people's shows sound and look the best they can. But my worst looking episode is literally a camera, which at the time I gave my girlfriend to hold while I split open a pomegranate. And I'm, you know, I'm almost like 500,000 views of that thing on YouTube with endless comments. So, you know, get involved in podcasting. You don't know what's going to be a success and what's not. But the feedback was great. You know, I really didn't see anyone out there doing anything like I was doing in terms of there was no show for produce, right? So, you know, I mean, it even led me to an appearance on the Emerald Show. I was actually on my own episode of Emerald, had a show called Emerald Green, still available. And I did a podcast and they were doing casting calls. And really, I went down to the casting call to see how the big boys did it, right? So here I am creating video in my home, producing it. It's worldwide. And I just wanted to see what an audition was like. I'm definitely not an actor. I'm not into any of that. I wanted to see big cameras, big lights. And, you know, I told them my story and they were reluctant at first that they were like, oh, we don't know if we want to mention your podcast. I said, he's Emerald. I'm Ray, the produce picker. I think he's okay. I don't think I'm going to be stealing too much of Emerald's audience. So, you know, I said, I can pick out perfect fresh fruits and vegetables, but I absolutely couldn't tell you what to do with them after that. They liked the story. They never actually mentioned my show during the episode. They did intro the show with me doing a sort of mock podcast. You know, it was actually in the producer's home and it was pretty funny the way they sort of built it. But, you know, they liked the story. And so podcasting led me to being on an episode of Emerald. It's led me to a career in podcasting. Again, like I said, it's not traditional career in that my podcast abilities or my podcast skills, unbeknownst to me, were sort of serving as a portfolio of what I could do. Not so much of the knowledge I was putting out there in the podcast, not a sponsorship. It was someone realized I need help doing this at my organization. And, you know, I was in the right circles at the right time, bugged the right people and managed to get a job to have someone pay me to help produce their podcast. And I've been doing that for almost 3 years now. So best job I've ever had.
Now, the great thing is because you've helped other people, can you kind of share any things that have, how they have benefited from having a podcast?
So how other people have benefited. I mean, you know, it's funny because I had sort of this rush of quilters.
Okay.
Quilters who hired me to help them podcast about their quilting. And so that is like really hobby, right? I mean, they're not even, I don't even know if they're making stuff to make money.
Okay.
So it's definitely helped, you know, people that I've helped help grow their own community. So it's really put them in touch with people in their own sort of niche and almost on a global basis, right? So they're meeting quilters in Finland. You know, they might not be making money. They're making these awesome connections.
Right.
And really, it's those connections that got me into my job. And so you really never know where that's going to lead. So I think the connections that you create that people aren't quite, they don't even quite understand they're going to form these amazing relationships with people that they may never even meet in person. It's pretty powerful. So people have benefited from that a lot. And I think it really blows them away when they see the power of that.
Well, and I just want to giggle when I think quilting podcast. I'm like, you know, you think, at least I think when I hear quilting, I think, you know, little old lady sitting around making a quilt. And when I think little old lady, I don't think high tech podcast, you know, it's like,
I know.
And yet they're benefiting. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, how do you, I guess we should talk some gear.
Sure.
Your podcast is called the Podcaster Studio, and that is podcasters, a plural studio. So you're going to have two S's kind of there side by side. And, you can also find you, you do a lot of things on Twitter. You can find him at Podcast Helper. And what's going on in your studio?
So, you know, I guess it's kind of, it's, it's cool and embarrassing all at the same time, right? So obviously I'm into this stuff, and that can lead to a considerable amount of gear purchasing. But, you know, now I get to say, hey, it's my job, right? So
right.
It's not just my hobby. You know, I can justify it a little bit more. I've got to buy this. I've got to learn. And I do a podcast about podcasting. So how could I not have the latest stuff, right? So my studio is really nice. And I've been really lucky to have some extra income through things like consulting that I've been able to grow my studio. So I am talking into a high OPR 40. And, you know, I'm not a podcaster. You know, I talked about the importance of quality, but you definitely don't have to spend a ton of money to get quality. You know, I have a pair of $25 microphones in my studio that we produce a show on. They sound great, right? And a mixer is a mixer. You can buy a cheap one and be perfectly successful with that. You know, make a small investment, $100, $200. I mean, $100 really, a USB mic and a computer that you already have can get you on the road to producing quality sound. But you got to make that little bit of investment. So I won't bore you by running through all the gear that's in this studio, but I'm talking into a nice microphone, and you know, I've got some other pieces of gear around the studio, but they're not necessary. But you know, you are someone who has done so many episodes. You've had a lot of different gear over the years, and so you know, I think it's nice to be able to try out some other stuff. But you can see that you don't have to. Old stuff works great. Go to eBay.
There you go. What are you using for software?
Software, I edit my audio in Soundtrack Pro, which is not really meant for audio podcasting, in that it's it comes in the Final Cut suite. And I have that because, well, when I had my Gateway computer stolen while I was producing podcasts, I needed a computer, decided to try out Apple, and was able to afford the Final Cut Express that came with it. And with that comes audio editing software, which they've recently discontinued, which is quite to my disappointment. But I'm editing in Soundtrack Pro. It's something you won't hear most podcasters editing in, but it's a lot like Adobe Audition. Really, you're going to get the same thing. And even Audacity, which is free, can do all the same things. So I just like it because the user interface is really easy to use. And I tell people, if they watch me edit a podcast, it's like watching someone play a piano, man. I'm just go crazy on the keyboard and mouse.
Well, because you did the Produce Picker podcast, was a video one. I always kind of consider you definitely, I do very, very little video. If somebody wanted to start a video podcast, do you have any kind of suggestions on gear that they might want to investigate?
Definitely. Because, you know, in video, it's likely you have a consumer grade camera around your house that you go to the zoo or you go to, you know, you take on your trip, right? And you point and shoot your camera. Heck, your cell phone can shoot video these days. But I think there is, if you want to do video podcasting, it's video, but audio is 50% of the game, if not more. Most people will tell you that they will be willing to watch bad video as long as the audio is good, but not the reverse. They won't watch good video that has bad sound. So if you find a camera that is a few hundred dollars, the minimum, you want to have that audio input so that you can put an external microphone into it, because the microphone on the camera is just as good as using it, just as quote unquote good as using the microphone on your computer. And you know, as an audio podcaster, that's no go. You know, we talk about cheap, but that's too cheap. So a camera with an audio input, and it doesn't have to be a professional XLR input. It can be the 1/8-inch jack. As long as you can plug external audio microphone into it, you're good. And these days, if you can get HD, typically you can. I mean, you can get HD for, you know, I think the new codec ZI-10, I've never used them. We talked about it briefly over email, has an audio input and does HD. So, you know, YouTube supports HD. You can upload there for free. You can't host your podcast off YouTube. That's a whole nother thing. But yeah, have that audio input if you're going to get a camera. That's the best advice I could give on video podcasting.
And then probably second to that, it's kind of weird because I would have said light. Well, I see, it's weird because I think camera, I think lighting, and I think audio. And I know audio is more important than most people give it credit for. Is it better to go with good lighting because you can make a bad camera look good with good lighting, or do you need
a good camera. And if you have bad lighting, it won't matter because you have a good camera.
Yeah. So, I mean, you definitely hit on something there that digital video needs light. I mean, you might think that the light coming in through your window is enough, but when you look through a camera, you'll realize, you know, why doesn't this look like the same it does, you know, through my naked eye? It just doesn't. Digital video is a light hog and it wants that light. But that said, you know, you can't really buy a camera with a light on board, but you can buy a camera with an audio input. So you're not going to be able to, you can, now there is a way to record audio separately from your video with like a digital audio recorder. That's a mess. That's a hassle in post-production. You have to line up audio. You forget to hit record, something you don't want to go down that road. So getting that camera with the audio input, it's funny, we are talking about video podcasting here and I'm obsessing about audio, but if you don't get that audio input, you can't really go backwards. You know, with light, you can. I mean, if you need better light, get in front of an open window and you know, natural sunlight is the best key light that you can have. Your best main light is that nice natural sunlight. And, you know, you can find that around your house. You know, you can go outside if you have to. Guaranteed one of your rooms has a big window you can sit in front of. So lights and is something you can pick up later. The audio input, you can't really redo that. So get the camera with the audio input. Worry about the lights later. You know, I even had $5 or not $5, but, you know, $10 can lights that you can get at Home Depot, you know? So lighting is not something that is, it is something you want to think about as you start to produce a podcast. But, even these cameras these days are pretty good in low light, but, natural light, sunlight is your friend, and, get the camera with the audio input for sure.
You always end the podcaster studio. You always say, you know, go out and start a podcast or two. What do you think is the biggest reason or the hurdles that why people aren't starting a podcast?
You know, you've heard paralysis through analysis, I think. I think a lot of people, well, first off, if we're talking about audio, even video, I don't belong in front of a camera. My voice doesn't sound good enough for podcasting. I don't know where to start. There's a lot of things that people get in their head about what podcasting might be, what it has to be, what it needs to be, that stops them. I mean, I have people who have probably listened to all of my episodes. You know, with the Podcaster Studio, we're just up to about episode 53 here, and you know, they haven't started yet. And my biggest advice, and I say that at the end of the episode, just go start a podcast or two. I mean, just do it. I mean, you might not have one subject in mind, but pick something that you love to talk about at no end, and just try it. Record your voice, record your image, throw it on the internet, see if it sticks. You know, I know you've had a lot of shows yourself, and some go, some don't. But give yourself a chance to see if you even like it, to see if you want to continue with it. But I think that there's this sort of fear that stops people. Or you know, when I started listening to podcasts, you listen to those people and you start to hold them out to this sort of like larger than life personality. And you're like, I can't be like that. But we all started there. So, you know, get out there, start a podcast. And if you are on Twitter, if you're not, you should be. If you are, I'm out there, podcast helper. I just love helping people. You do too. Education's big for you. And, you know, if you tweet me a question about podcasting, and I can say I am there quite a lot because, as I said, I work from home. I make my living on the internet. So, you know, TweetDeck is always open. And, you know, I don't want to get, you know, killed with, there will be a point where I hit that sort of Gary V status where you can't answer every email. He tries to answer every email, which is ridiculous. He's so popular. You know, but tweets are really easy. You know, you can send out an amazing amount of tweets in just 10 minutes of your day. So, you know, I really like helping people, and that's sort of my thing. I do enjoy helping people there because it's quick and easy.
Well, I'm going to go, we talked about this earlier, about zigging and zagging off topic. I'm going to go a little off topic here, but being that you are on Twitter so much, you probably have great insights into that. Uh-oh. What would you say are like some do's and don'ts of Twitter?
So this is awesome because Twitter etiquette is also a pet peeve of mine. I love to hear people talk about the do's and don'ts of Twitter because you know what? Twitter is, it's opt in, it's opt out, right? So if you don't like what someone's doing on Twitter, you don't follow them. That's it. It's your choice. It's not forced on you. You don't see everyone that's on Twitter. You pick who you see on Twitter. And so really, you know, like podcasting, there is almost no must do's in podcasting. You don't have to have a condenser microphone. You don't have to use, you know, a Canon camera. The choices are endless. So on Twitter, it's the same thing. You know, obviously use some common sense. You are putting stuff on the internet and, you know, it's now in the Library of Congress. So if you wouldn't say it in front of your mom or your grandmother, you probably shouldn't be saying it on Twitter. But that, again, it's your own world. And, you know, you get to do what you want. And I like that. And so I don't like too many rules, but do's and don'ts, you know, I common sense goes a long way. You know, my two favorite commons are actually, well, I guess they're the most uncommon common things I enjoy are common sense and common courtesy, which I see lacking a lot in this world, pretty much when I'm on the road. But yeah, you know, be a little wise about what you do out there, but don't be afraid of it too, because so many people are, man, what do I put out there? You know, how much do I say? You know, whatever you're comfortable with. But get on Twitter. You will find that, you know, Twitter is like, Facebook is for the people you know, and Twitter is for the people you want to know. So it's so powerful because you can talk to people, get access to people who may not have been accessible before. Maybe your favorite author, you couldn't write him an email or a letter or a phone call because he's overloaded with stuff. Send him a tweet and suddenly you're having a conversation with someone you revere or look up to or a peer who's in your niche, you know, podcasting. I'm connected to all of you guys or podcasters about podcasting. And, you know, we're a community right there. So really cool for meeting those people that you actually want to know, and you follow those people and you create an awesome circle of, you know, peers and friends. And yeah, I enjoy it a lot, obviously.
Well, if you're looking for Ray, where's the best place to find you?
RayOrtega.com will lead you to all the stuff that I produce online.
Awesome. Well, Ray, again, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and for coming to chat with us and share your insights on podcasting. I am a huge fan of your show, and check him out at thepodcasterstudio.com. It's one of my favorite podcasts, actually. And thanks again for all your time.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
All right, there he is, the one, the only. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. Ray Ortega, such a great guy. Congrats to Ray. If you guys didn't know, Ray is expecting a child, and that's exciting. I'm excited for Ray. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And just a little side note here. I actually edited this podcast in Hindenburg System, a journalist. This is the podcaster. I talked about this in a previous podcast. And what's cool is I'm taking part of this interview. You actually heard kind of the full version. There's going to be a shorter version of this. You don't need to go listen to it at The Power of Podcasting, which doesn't get into so much of some of the other stuff. And this allowed me to just basically cut the questions into bits and pieces and then say, okay, I want this one, that one, that one, this one, that one, export. Very cool piece of software. And if you want to know more about that, I'm not getting paid for it. I'm giving them basically a free commercial. It's pretty cool right now. And that's one of the things I said. If you're doing interviews, it's a great piece of software. So that is going to do it. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, if you're ready to start a podcast, two ways to do it. If you're a do-it-yourself kind of person, go out to schoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to hire me as your podcast coach, go out to podcastcoaching.com. You can check my schedule right there. Sign up for some consultation, and we will get you up and running super fast. Thanks for tuning in. Until next week, class is dismissed.